You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I convinced them I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice wants what you think I've seen. Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Better part of it gonna have out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And, folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hello, 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 hello.
How are you tonight?
Well, it's been a roller coaster ride, Master Bill, like you would not believe. First of all, I want to tell everybody, I'm in the craziest state in the world. I got here a couple of days ago, and the weather was down to 27 degrees and hit 13 degrees at night. Today it was up to 85 degrees, and it's 57 degrees right now. So I don't know what the hell's going on, but it's crazy. I'm serious, Bill. I mean,
it's
a pendulum, you know. It goes this side to that side. And you don't know how to dress, what clothes to wear, because, my God, it was brutal when I got here, and I had to take the clothes off today because it was so damn hot.
I know, Jimmy.
You know,
I'm getting reports from all over the different sightings that people have had here the last week.
And you know the reason why, okay?
Yeah.
Reason why it's migration time, folks.
These
creatures are plentiful. And there's more eyes on the ground, more eyes on the trees, more eyes out there because they're cognizant of the fact of they're listening to the TV shows. They're listening to the radio shows. There's movies about Bigfoot. the jerk, the beef jerky, Link's big jerky, Troy Link's.
Beef jerky, yeah.
Yeah, great guy. And, you know, and then, oh, my God, they had this big conference yesterday. Big conference in Texas. I don't know if you're aware of it. Are you, Bill?
Yeah, well, I heard about it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not.
And it was the Erickson Project. Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. I remember. We know the Erickson
Project. And, oh, my God, Melba Toast is out there. And who else did I recognize? The guy from New Mexico who was on our deal there for a while.
Right.
What's his name?
I can't remember.
That Walmart there.
Yeah, yeah.
Believes in the ghosts and the ghost of, what you call it, walkers and all that kind of stuff.
Right, yeah, yeah. Oh, JC.
JC, yeah. And I guess what happened was she had made a panel of the people who had some of the samples of the creature. Now, I'm just going to put this out here one time for all of you people around the globe who listen. And listen closely, because those who absorb will be rewarded. Take a look at the one sleeping. Take a look at the facial features of that creature. I know the people who took this film, okay? I was with them down here in Florida not too long ago, all right? You just take a look at it. How many Bigfoot creatures do you think are out there have canines like that? Think about it. See those big, large canines, folks? This thing looked more like a Chewbacca from Star Wars than anything I've ever seen in my life. But needless to say, here's my adage, ladies and gentlemen. You got a creature, I don't care about your pictures no more. I don't care about your film. I don't care about your tracks in the ground. I don't care about your tree twists or your sound bites. Bring me a dead body or show me where there's one that's live, and then you got me for sure. I'm a veteran of this game, ladies and gentlemen. Been there, done that. It's just like that other clowns out there. Oh, the world's going to be shocked on December 1st. What's he going to show?
It was. Nothing happened.
More poppycock? Come on, man. Give me a break. You know, go out there, do your job, do it the best you can, and try to get one of these things. I'm tired of hearing, oh, well, the DNA and the chromosomes and this and that. Bring me a creature. That's what I want to see. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the game. And that's what we're doing. That's why we're out doing what we're doing.
The DNA they're talking about is ours anyways.
Hello? One of them asked for damn sure. I never got the samples back. Because, you know, there's a lot of crooks out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's easy for people to make accusations about me. And remember one thing, ladies and gentlemen. When you're the top of the mountain, the king of the mountain, there's always somebody etching at you, climbing, to be that king. But remember one thing, I've got tenure. I've been around a long time. And not many people have been out in the brush as long as us. But the rest of these people, they become indoctrinated over a weekend. My God, I'm the best Bigfoot hunter in the world, they'll tell everybody. Well, prove it to me. That's all you need to do. Just prove it to the world. Don't flap your gums. Show me a body. Bring a live one back. That's what'll do it. And why do you think all these people are having these sightings, Marco, Bill, right now? It's because of my 40-some-odd years. I told everybody about the migrational trails, the times of years that these things move. And, of course, now because of the TV, the radio shows, the stuff that's been brought forth on the news, it's made people more aware, ladies and gentlemen. That's what's happened. Why do you think you're hearing about it all the time, especially those who are in the industry? We've set back. We're out there, boots on the ground. We're trying to solve this mystery. I don't care about the science factor no more, because the science factor didn't believe, did they? And now all of a sudden, oh, Bigfoot exists. I need some scholared person, somebody who's got letters before their name or after their name. Let me see. What do they stand for, Mr. Marco Bill? PhD. Does that mean post-hole digger? Oh, wait a minute. It's the other one that has one in front that says DR. Is that abbreviation for door? Give me a break, ladies and gentlemen. Been through it. Been there, done that. The name of the game today, folks, is bring it back alive or bring me one that's been in chains or bring me one that's dead, dead, dead. Okay? Oh, Biscardi, you're a killer. You want to kill one of these things. Well, my organization is non-kill. Yeah, you could take that and a 50-cent piece, and you can't even buy yourself a cup of coffee. Trust me, it's all bullshit. It's called entertainment for the people, ladies and gentlemen, because those people, I'll bet you a dollar to a donut, they had a chance, and they came up against one because they never have. Let's establish that point right now. They've never seen nothing except in their dreams. That's what they've seen. And some of you out there saying, well, there's Biscardi, that's vintage Biscardi, man. He's on the rampage tonight, brother. I'm not on a rampage. I'm telling you a fact, Jack. This is real. This is what's going on. You need to get it from the horse's mouth. Forget about the bullshit. And that's all you're getting out there. It's called entertainment for the people, folks. So I said my 2 cents, Billy boy. Boy, I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, you got the first two guests on this show tonight. You got some super, super people. I talked to both of these people, too. And I can't wait to get them. You want?
Well, there was another one that called and left a voicemail for me. And her and her boyfriend were having a beer after they had their sighting. And it's in the very same area. And it was crossing the road. It was a female and a male creature.
Oh, I heard that one. But ladies and gentlemen, the one that we talked at the top of the hour, this guy was nipple to nipple with one. He was panicking. This guy's an EMT. He's a firefighter. And he says, you guys are the only ones around that's got a real phone number that we could talk to somebody on what to do. What does that tell you, folks? The rest of these people are all full of shit. Don't get me going. I'm on my soapbox tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't want to get, you don't want me telling more stories. Without any further ado, can we go on with the show, Mr. Bill?
Well, we should, yes.
Okay.
Because we got some exciting things going on here.
I know we do. Well, I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I talked to this guy myself late last night. This is Bob from Alabama. Bobby, you out there?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Well, you heard me. I'm ranting tonight, Bob. Because I'm tired of the bullshit out there.
Yes, sir.
You know, and
yes,
I'll tell
sir.
You what, it's an honor to have you on my show, on our show, and I'll tell you why. Because you're real, buddy. You're
yes,
real.
Well, I tell you what, I didn't believe in Bigfoot either, and I never have. And I've been around farming cattle all my life, and I've seen deer, like I've hunted, and I've seen every creature in the woods just about it. And what I saw the other night, I'm still stumped at what I saw. Like, I'm still in disbelief.
Well, you know what, Bob? Here's what I want you to do. It's your show tonight for the next 6 minutes. You're on stage. I want you to tell my listeners around the globe, from beginning to the climax to the end, exactly what went on. Will you do that for me?
I sure will. I was coming home the other night. I was out late, been in town, and I was headed home, and I pulled up in my driveway, and I always pull behind my house, and I have a big cattle pasture behind my house there, and I pulled up, and I shined my headlights. They were shining out into my pasture, and on the wood line there, I saw what at first I thought was one of my bulls breeding one of my cows. And boy, was I wrong. This was a only thing I could describe it as a Sasquatch. They were doing it doggy style. Like I've never seen. I was in disbelief, and I sat there for a few minutes and I watched them,
Wait a minute, Bobby. You ain't going to let me let you go any further with this story until you
yes,
give
sir.
Me some details, brother. Now, first of all, what time of the day or night was this?
This was about at 11 o'clock at night.
11 o'clock. Now, how far were these things from you?
They were probably about 100 yards, 75 yards probably.
75. Well, 100 yards would be what, 360 feet?
It's a long way.
It's a long way, especially at night. Now, do you have something illuminating the area?
Well, I got a big truck, and I got bright headlights, and then I also have lights like telephone poles out in my pasture that I have security lights on.
So, okay, let me explain to people that don't know what you're talking about, if you don't mind.
Yes,
ladies
sir.
And gentlemen, especially back in the areas where he's from, you see that all over. When they have large pasture areas, especially when they got farm animals out there, they got large telephone poles, just like you got in your own neighborhood. And they've affixed a big light to it. You know, those big ones that you see sometimes affixed to somebody's garage outside to when they walk up, and it's probably censored maybe. Are those censored?
Yes, sir. Yes,
okay.
Sir. They come on at night. They don't. They
right. They're incredible, ladies and gentlemen, because they illuminate a large area. All right, so here's the deal, Bobby. You saw them with your lights from your truck. You saw them from
yes.
the ones that are out in the pasture. What color
yes,
were these
sir.
Creatures?
They were dark brown looking. Like, I mean, they kind of, I thought it was my cows at first, but all I have is white Charolais cows. They're like just a white cows. And when I first got a glimpse, I was thinking it was my cows, and I was like, they ain't white. And they were dark brown, and the one standing up, I guess the male, he was about, if I had to guess, 7 foot tall. Like, if I had to guess, he was huge.
Okay,
and
so now that you deciphered that it wasn't two cows that were mounting each other because of the color, you
right.
said that this male Bigfoot or Sasquatch or some kind of primate mounted the other one and,
yes, sir.
And had taken that one doggy style. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, were they making any groans, or could you hear anything, any yelps?
I could not hear anything. I had my truck turned. My truck was on. It's a loud diesel truck, and I couldn't hear a single thing. My windows were up, and I didn't, as soon as I saw them, I didn't stick around long because I was kind of scared. I pulled off, and I went to a buddy of mine's house down the road because I had Man, I was kind of terrified, actually. I've never been scared in my life.
Rightfully so, Bob, and I don't mean to interrupt again because there's a lot of questions coming out here from a lot of my
yes.
listeners around. So you saw them mating, possibly mating. The color was a brownish color, correct?
Yes, sir.
And one that was about 7 feet tall that you determined.
Yes, sir.
You were in your rig, and you had it, the windows were up, and it was diesel. It made noise. And then you said to yourself, holy shit, I'm out of here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and you went to a friend's house. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
What was the first thing that you did? No. I take that back. From the time you left the scene of these two creatures mating and went to your friend's house, what's the distance?
15 minutes? 10 minutes?
10 minutes. Okay.
Yeah,
so we're talking
minute.
About at least 10 miles.
Yes,
possibly 15. During
yes,
that time, what was going through your head, Bob?
I just saw Sasquatch.
You saw more than a Sasquatch. You
yeah,
saw
I
multiple
saw two
Sasquatches.
Sasquatch. Yes, sir.
Possibly a male and a female, unless they were gay. And at
yes,
the same
sir.
Point in time, they were doing their thing.
Yes, sir. And I was in disbelief. Like, I mean, that was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. And I've tried telling myself I didn't see it. And I saw two Sasquatches getting it on in my cow pasture. I mean, I don't know what else to explain it.
Now, you got 30 acres, as if I remembered, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Because I've been talking to so many people. I know there was somebody else on the other line when I was talking to you. You remember that?
Yes, sir.
So you get to your friend's house, Bobby. And what did you tell him?
I told him, you know, I got to get on your computer. And we started searching on the computer, Bigfoot researchers, and, you know, I had to find an answer for what I just saw. And
who was the first one that popped up?
BigfootLive.com was, I think, the second or third.
That's us. Yeah, there you go.
I think it was the second or third one. The first couple didn't have a phone number, or I couldn't find a phone number.
Oh, was that right?
Yes, sir. And BigfootLive.com, I saw a phone number on the page. It was just right there, and it was the easiest one to call.
And what happens when you call that number?
I talked to, I can't remember if I talked to Bill or Tom the first night.
Tom, you talked to me the first time.
Yes, sir.
Because you were shook up, man. I'll never forget that call.
Yes, sir.
Really shook up. What's happened since then? Have you gone back to the area? Did you call?
I haven't gone out there where they were, but I've been at the house and stuff, but I haven't really looked around or anything for them. I don't really care to because they're big. But, I mean, I've been out there at the house and been out there checking on my cows, but I'm not going to go out there searching for them.
I'll tell you what, Bob, like I tell all of our newbies, welcome to the world of Sasquatch, number one, and thank you for taking from your family tonight to be here with us to express your feelings and tell your story to our guests around the globe.
Now, yes, sir.
There's going to be a lot of people that's going to have questions and answers, and I understand that last week it went into overtime because, you know, we got our wrecking crew with us. That's Rocky and Swede. And I'm sure they're going to have a lot of questions for you. So just mute yourself out. We got a lot more show, and then we'll all get together and have a roundtable talk at the end, okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Bobby. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Bob from Alabama. What an intense story. And you know what? People just don't make this stuff up. This is real. This man had an experience. Wow. Off the charts. Can we go to commercial, Mr. Bill?
Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery. And deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage, available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back, Tom.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, you hear that little titty, that little ditty, and nothing has really topped that. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. It rang around the old expression, the shot that rang around the world. Well, this thing was the seventh largest story in that year, 2008. And it's just amazing. If you want to see the behind the scenes, get that movie. Go to our website, searchingforbigfoot.com or bigfootlive.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have another guest. We're going to stay in Alabama. There's a lot of action going on in Alabama right now as we talk, okay? We're going out there to talk to Clayton. Clayton, you out there?
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
Well, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Well, if I felt any better, I'd have to see a doctor. That's how good I feel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, excuse me, Clayton called the same night that Bobby called, maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes, maybe a half hour tops, okay? Now, I know where they both live, and we're not going to talk about that. But the thing that blew my mind was, guess what this guy calls with? Different area codes, but still Alabama, about 2 hours away. And remember, these things move quickly. He sees two creatures crossing the road in front of him. And guess what? What were they, Clayton?
Sasquatches, two of them.
What was it, two males? What was it?
I couldn't tell. I was driving, I think it might have been a male and a female because
that's
one
what
was
you told me.
The other.
You bet. And I had told you about the calls we were getting because it was going crazy that night. Okay?
Right. Right.
Now, here's the thing that a lot of people don't know. These creatures, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give you a little tidbit tonight. This is lesson 101 in Bigfoot research, as they call it. When these creatures migrate, they migrate in breeding pools. Do you know what that means, Clayton?
No, sir.
Huh?
No, sir, I don't.
Okay. A breeding pool is where they have males, alpha males, and a bunch of females, and maybe juveniles and babies. So sometimes it could be anywhere between three, as little as three, and as much as eight that I've seen when they travel. That's called a breeding pool. And a breeding pool is nothing more than a machine to keep that type of creature going, okay, multiplying. And it blew me away, totally blew me away, when you guys were telling me your stories. And things were going on. I said, my God, here it is, deja vu all over again. And it kind of reminded me about 25 years ago. And I've been in the business 45 years. So things are happening out there. My gosh. I want you to tell my listeners around the globe, if you would, be so kind, Clayton, exactly what happened. And don't leave nothing out. You got the floor.
All right. So I'm driving down the road. And it's at night, and I approach what I see. I didn't know what it was at first, coming across the road, and I like to hit them. And what I believed was two Sasquatches. At first, I didn't know. I thought it might have been two people, you know, in the distance. And
how
when
fast
I got closer,
were you going, Clayton? How fast were you going down that road?
I'd say 45, 50.
Wow.
And,
okay, go
little,
ahead.
Little two-lane, you know, back road kind of like. And you know, I came within 15 feet of them probably. And I couldn't believe my eyes, you know. One was a little taller than the other. I'd say he had to be about around 7 foot, close to it. And the other one, you know, a little shorter, which is what I guess was a female. And once I passed them, I backed up and tried to shine my lights in where they went, but I couldn't, you know, I didn't see no trace of them.
So and, what color, did you see the color of them? Did you see the color of their eyes?
I couldn't see the color of their eyes. They were dirty, though. They were a brownish color. Real
so
dirty.
Same color of Bobby talking about the two that he saw.
Right. Dirty looking. They didn't really just look right at me. When I was a little ways back, they looked, you know, you can see the headlights shining in their eyes. But once I got up real close, I couldn't see, you know, the color of their eyes or anything.
What went through your head, Clayton?
I couldn't believe what I just saw. You know, I had no idea what I had just seen. I didn't know if it was at first somebody, you know, dressed up, messing around, but they were huge. Like, if it was somebody messing around, these people, they're absolutely huge people. Now, it just couldn't have been normal people, you know.
Wow. Wow.
It blew my mind.
Yeah, well, so when you went home, did you go right home after that?
Yes, sir. I went back home, told one of my buddies that lives on that road what I had seen. And but of course it's thick back in there. It's, you know, when I backed up to try to shine my lights and see them, it ain't no pastures or nothing. It gets pretty thick, so you know, there's really no way of me seen them once they went off in the woods.
Clayton, what's the weather getting to at night down there?
I'd say it gets down to about mid-60s right now.
So you're okay, I know where you're at. All right, gotcha. All right. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of rattlesnake infestations going on down in that area.
Yeah.
Have you seen any or heard about them?
Yeah, I had a buddy kill a real big one about a week ago.
Yeah, they're enormous, you know. And you do know about they got those rattlers down there, though.
Yeah.
What? Let me see how good you are. You ready? I'm going to ask you a question.
All right.
Okay. There's black rings around the tail before the rattler. What distinguishes a male from a female?
Good one.
And if
you don't know,
just be honest and say you don't know, and Papa Tom here will educate you.
Educate me, because I ain't no expert on snakes.
All right. When it comes to rattlers, all right, the four black rings is a female. And you're not allowed to kill the female or capture females, except if you're in harm's way. But the ones that got five or more are males, and they're the ones you can kill or keep, you know, for consumption or sale.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes these females, they're with child, and they've got, oh, my God, their bellies is just full. But, wow, you know, I got to tell you something. I've heard three stories like I heard from you and Bob in the last 2 days, and it's a treasure trove, a cornucopia, ladies and gentlemen, where they're at. This is the place to be. And if I wasn't so far away where I'm at, I've been there yesterday. But listen,
yeah.
I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, Clayton. So just mute yourself out, too, because you're going to be on the round table and people are going to bombard you with questions, and I'd appreciate it if you talk to him at the end, okay?
Okay, yeah, no problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Clayton. What a fine gentleman, a real scholar. And oh, by the way, welcome to the world of Sasquatch. Well, unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. What's going on right now? We said it. We told you it was going to happen, and it's happening, okay? And yes, we're the only ones that people can talk to on a real live line, okay? And we're not afraid. We're not hiding from nobody. Without any further ado, let's get out there to my good old buddy down there, Theron, in Choctaw, Mississippi. Theron, how are you?
Well, I'm doing just fine, Tom. How about you?
What do you think of what's going on around the globe?
Well, I think it's wonderful, you know, because, you know, these creatures, you know, they're just thrilling to know that they're out there.
Oh, big time. Big time,
yeah.
You bet. Yeah, yeah. I understand you've been having some action out there by you.
The lady that we talked to when you were here,
uh-huh.
She told you that she'd seen the creature ever since she was a small girl.
Yeah.
Behind her house. She told me several weeks ago that there was a creature eaten from her pear tree again, and she said, remember, she says every now and then the creatures would come in and enjoy the pears there. Well, she had one eaten out of her pear tree here a few weeks ago. And a few days ago, she told me that a couple of people walking through the woods nearby where it's usually being seen there by this particular individual, somewhere around in the wooded area, there was a big... they said it was a cave. I've never seen a cave in Mississippi, but they said a big hole, like a cave. Anyway, it
could have been an old well, an old abandoned mine. It could have been anything.
Yeah, I've never seen a cave around here, but it's the lady described it as. Looked like something had been habitating in there, you know. So me and Mac, we talked about it, and we're gonna be investigating that, and Mac is going to put a trail camera to it, so we'll see if we can get any kind of image in that area there. But, yeah, we've had some sightings and encounters here, several of them. Just past year, you know, so.
You know, I want to ask you about our friend that was incarcerated. You ever hear from them people anymore?
Well, yeah, I do. I did. I went to visit. I went to visit the lady.
The wife.
Who had the video.
Yeah.
And I said, what did you do with the video? She said she deleted it. She's very, very, superstitious, you know.
I was going to say remorseful for what she did.
Yeah, and she thinks this thing is not in a physical form, but in a spiritual form, and she said it gives her the creeps, you know, just to have it on her phone. So she decided to delete it, and I was pretty. Disappointed that she had deleted it, but I gotta tell you, Tom, the day we went walking through the woods with the cameraman and the lady and the other guys, went to go check out the lair there. Mac had taken a video of it, and he had inadvertently captured an image of the creature. He called me about 2 or 3 weeks later and said, "You just got to see this. You got to see this." And he brought it over about midnight and hooked up his laptop. And he said, "Look, I didn't notice this, but after I was looking through it, I noticed a leg walking through the thicket. You couldn't see the top part, but you could see the leg walking real clearly." And then he said, "Watch this now." He's gonna peek behind the tree a couple of times, and sure enough, he would stick his head out behind the tree and be looking at Mac. And he went back behind the tree again and stuck his head up again. And Mac said, "Now watch this." So I kept on watching for about a minute or so. The creature stepped out from behind the tree and stood there in his, on sideways.
High profile.
Profile. Yes, but it would turn his head and look. And what we noticed was that his face wasn't really flat. It was more like protruded out. Mm-hmm. And that was after we found out about that, after you had actually went and looked at the lair. That was the that day that you were there, and was checking out the lair, and that's the area where the video was taken by Mac, and I couldn't believe my eye.
I saw it too. When you see and hear from Mac again, please give him my regards and respects.
Sure,
one hell of a real man. You know, I gotta tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Not many people go out there to the Choctaw Reservation. We were invited by this gentleman here. We were the ones that found the real lair, the first lair. We were the ones that, it was right by his mama's house, too. And he didn't know where we were going to go in to look for it. He didn't know what we found that day. Remember when we found that lair?
Oh, yes, I do. I think my sister had seen a creature walking into that area by the curve of the road with a deer on its shoulder.
His shoulder, yeah.
Yeah.
When you saw that lair, as Jim did, as Bill did, as Chico did, as I did, who else was there? Bill? Yeah, Bill Coffey was with us.
Mac was there, too.
And Mac was there. It blew everybody's mind, didn't it?
Well, you know, I couldn't believe that that the creature would make a home right there behind somebody's house.
But nobody knew it was there, did it?
No.
It was a little gully, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was,
you know, I'll tell you this. Poor Bill Coffey is still stunned from what he got on his trail trip camera. He's bit. That poor guy's bit.
Yeah.
You know, he just overwhelmed. It was on his camera.
Yeah.
The image that he got. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Rocky was there. We called Rocky in on this. He cut some trails in that area and everything.
Yeah.
He'll tell you what he went through. I mean, but the thing about it is, Theron, you know, you guys down there at that reservation, we've been there how many times? Three times? Four times? I don't even remember no more.
I think it's five or six times.
Five or six times. And, you know, I like you. I like the Choctaw people. I like the, who's that head, Rampoon-Pon, the guy I talked to, the attorney general or whatever the hell he was of the thing.
Well, I tell you, I was talking to the attorney general not long ago, and he said the Searching for Bigfoot Incorporated is welcome to do the research here on the Choctaw Reservation.
Did he really?
He sure did.
You know, that guy's got class. You give him my regards and respect.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just so enthralled in what we're doing right now, and I'm contracted up with another, you know, 45, 60 days. But I'll tell you what, I'm at the point right now because I know what's going on. I'd like to be in the midst of all this stuff. I'd like to be at Bobby and Clayton's place right now. I know those things are migrating.
Yeah.
I
well,
exactly
when you talk about migrating here, the ones that are seen around here seem to be living here year-round.
Well, they've taken up residence because they found the solace and feeling that nobody's going to hurt them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, there's people that already knew that these things existed. It was mostly the old folks, you know, that knew about it. And nobody ever talks about it. But the young folks, you know, they never talk about it until the day you arrived. And people just started coming out. And people are calling me. People are, you know, running into me. People are catching up to me just to tell me their encounter stories, you know.
It was amazing. It blew me away. Totally blew me away. I never, we were on TV, we were on the newspaper, we were on radio.
Well,
no matter
yeah.
where we went, people were coming all around and telling us stories. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. They're still going on today. I talked to the lady today that had the encounter right outside of a big casino.
Yeah. I remember all that. I remember all of that. Well, I'll tell you what. This is a hell of a night, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, we got some great guests on. Thank you very much. Stay on because we're going to have a roundtable if you can. Okay.
Okay.
Because Bill's going to head that up, and we're going to go to commercial real quick. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Theron.
In August 2008. There was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world, featuring original never-before-seen footage, available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back.
Unbelievable show tonight, Bill, and the heartache of the whole thing is I've only got about another 3 minutes left, but I want to say hello to my brothers out there in Arkansas. So without any further ado, Rocky, Swede, you guys are there?
We're here.
How are you? What do you think of what's going on around this country, you boys?
It sounds like it's happening.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I understand that you guys went into overtime about 45 minutes last week, and you were telling the trials and tribulations on firearms and what to use and what not to use for protection and everything, and I appreciate that from both of you. I really do, and thank you.
Well, sure.
I got to tell you, I got a couple of calls from Arkansas also, and it's not too far from you or Jimmy, and we were just inundated with all these calls. And, you know, when you have to inherit the wheat from the chaff sometimes, it gets to be a little crazy, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
One thing, do me a favor, Gentle Giant, I know you're listening. After the show, give me about 10 minutes, then call me. I need to talk to you. Do me a favor also, Rocky. I need to talk to you about, call me about a half hour after the show, would you?
Sure.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have to go. I'm on a bad time schedule here, a tight one. Bill, take over the show. It's been a great show for all of you people. Good night, Miss Calabash, wherever you are. I hope you sleep well. And kudos and salutations. Till next time, America. Thanks, guys. Bob, Theron, Clayton, Swede, and Rocky. You guys are the best. Thank you, Marco.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, good night, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Well, Rocky and Swede, how are you today?
We're doing fine.
What?
I'm doing fine.
Well, you know, let me start out here. Last week we had Nick from Ohio who had actually two encounters within 3 hours, and his best friend where he was at, where the place where he seen him, his best friend didn't kind of believe him. But he wanted to go back down there, and he was talking about firearms and other things that he was going to take with. And to lead it up, Rocky and Swede were listening, and he had two things. He had a .223 or he had a shotgun, and he was going to take the .223 and use that as his protection when he went back down there, because he's kind of scared. It frightened him very seriously when he seen the creature, and he just wanted enough protection. Well, Rocky, through the week here, started thinking about it. So what Rocky and Sweet are going to do tonight, first of all, they're going to kind of tell what kind of weapons are probably acceptable for protection when you go out there, and a little bit of know-how on gunology. Then the second thing is, tell us a little bit about their method of tracking and how they go about finding signs for these creatures. Okay? And I thought that might be a nice little thing to listen to for everybody to get some information on. Go ahead, Rocky and Sweet.
Hey, Sweet.
I'm here, Rod.
Well, you know, first off, I want everybody to understand, I'm not dissing anybody's choice of weaponry, but it's a simple thing. Don't go unless you've got enough gun. Okay? Just like I've told so many people, you can kill an elephant with a .22, but you're going to have to shoot it a whole bunch of times. And it's probably going to stomp you to jelly while you're trying to get all that shooting done. All right. AR-15, .223. The truth is, the hottest thing that they got out there is a 69-grain Lapua. That's factory load. It's going 3,030 feet per second about, and it's turning out about 1,420 foot-pounds of energy. Well, the average 30-06 with 2,900 feet per second with 150-grain bullet. It's 900 feet faster. I mean, it's turning out 2,320 foot-pounds of energy, which is 900 pounds more energy than .223. My hand load. Well, my .30-06, my favorite hand loads are going 3,015 feet per second. They're turning out 3,300 foot-pounds of energy, and that's 1,900 foot-pounds of energy more than the .223. Okay, That being said, my two favorite guns, if I'm going to go into a situation like that, is still my Remington pump shotguns, because they're slow. They both hold 7 rounds. You got a slug traveling, like I say, they're going slow, but they're turning out 2,700 to 3,000 foot-pounds of energy. Well, energy is what stops something. And when it came up, you know, I got to thinking about it, and it worries me that somebody might be out in the woods carrying an AR-15 with military full metal jacket ammo, because it's a very, if you just do some studying, you'll find that it's one of the weaker military rounds that's been out since black powder. And they work good for people. They've worked good for coyotes and prairie dogs and stuff like that. But my thinking is, if you're going to be out there where a Bigfoot might be, carry something that you can kill a big bear with. And, you know, that's, like I say, I'm not dissing anybody's choice of weapons, but, you know, give me a 30-30 over 223.
Absolutely.
You know, just about any old military bolt-action rifle that you can pick up is, well, be more fitting in that situation, regardless of the fact that they hold 5 as opposed to 30. Carry an AK-47. You know, it's got a little bit more energy, and it holds a bunch, but nevertheless, when you're going out, go carry a big stick, carry a shotgun with a pub full of slugs. It was said, well, you know, it doesn't hold enough. Well, you got to learn how to feed them real quick after they're empty. Turn it over on its side with the ejection port up and drop a loose one in. Close her up and go again. But to hunt something like that with the 223 is, well, it's basically going bear hunting with the switch.
Exactly. Rocky, I wanted to touch on the handgun thing just a second about that, too.
Okay.
You know, if you have to use a handgun and it's a backup gun, or if that's all you happen to have at the time, you know, choices there should be limited also. I mean, you might want to jump out, you know, think your high capacity 9mm is going to be the thing. That's not the thing. A lot of guys say, well, a 1911 is one of my favorite, probably the all-time favorite personal defense weapon against buggers of the two-legged kind, but not a Bigfoot or a bear. You know, you take, a lot of guys want to carry a 1911 out as a backup gun for a bear. Well, if you start shooting a bear with the 1911, you end up being a smoking pile on the side of a hillside somewhere if it's a big bear. But you need something that's got some stuff, you know, a 44 Magnum, a hot-loaded 45 Colt, a 454 Casull, a 500 Smith & Wesson, a big revolver, something that can get the job done. Don't run out there with your semi-automatic pistol, because you're going to be in trouble. If there is a bear there, or if it's a big Bigfoot there that's gonna, you know, a 400 or 500 pound creature can, you know, it's not gonna have much to mess around while you're shooting your 9mm at it. But
this man and the Swede have known each other for decades, and the fact is, he's never seen me that I'm not carrying a 1911 45 automatic. But when I'm out in the woods, 44 Magnum's the littlest thing that I carry. 500 is my favorite.
It just, you didn't, like Rocky said, you don't want to go out whooping up on something with a switch, you know. It's kind of like the difference between somebody throwing a ping-pong ball at you or somebody hitting you with a bowling ball. You get more effect with the bowling ball, so just keep that in mind. And I think you'll do fine, you know, if anybody that does that, you know, before you go out, don't fall into the high-capacity semi-automatic zone for this particular application. And that's, you know, that's just for everybody's best interest in not getting hurt. I mean, that's where we're coming from.
Just two old guys that have been hunting for all their lives, and, well, you know, I've had two 23s. They're fine guns for what they're fine for. But then when you get out of their little niche, then you're in deep poo-poo. That being
well,
said.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I just
that
thank
being
you.
Said, you was saying something about the tracking thing.
Well, kind of a little bit what you guys look for when you're out there of sign, different things that you occur and you've tracked these creatures. You've seen much of the sign that they leave, and I think it would be an interesting thing if people would understand what, you know, what kind of things you look for when you're looking for where a creature's been.
Okay, me and the Swedes, when they're tracking, it's kind of a symbiotic relationship because I'm a sight tracker. I had some damage to my nose a few years ago, well, several times, but Leroy Pentry caught me on the very end of a big long ride, and I haven't been able to smell since. The Swede, on the other hand, he can. He's got a good nose on him. He can. Well, you know, I have to see stuff. When we're going through the woods, he can smell like if something has broken a sassafras limb. He can smell it. I have to see it. We kind of play off each other there because there are so many things that can get by me simply, you know, I'm on the bottom ridge and it's on the top where, you know, Robert doesn't actually have to have a visual to be able to tell where something is, like where it was, or maybe where it's going to be, you know. But there's a lot of factors involved, a lot of little tricks. That the main thing is know where you're at. I mean, know what kind of country you're in, and it doesn't take long to see that something's not as it should be. you know, it's just any little scuff on a tree, any little broken limb, a rock moved out of place where you can see a little, you know, moisture spot underneath it. There's so many... so many things to look for: toe kicks, shine. That's me. My best hunting is early of a morning or later in the evening, because you know you get dew on the ground and whatever it is that we're looking for is better be moving fast or we're going to be moving on it. Then you know. Later on in the day, when the sun is straight down, it's harder. But you know, as the day goes on, I track 50 feet in front of me for the most part, because I can see the shine where something has stepped. the one thing that everybody needs to know when they're out there looking for something, for a Bigfoot. When a bear takes a step, a lot of times the rear foot will overlap the print of the front foot, and all of a sudden you've got a big long footprint, and well, when you finally find it, you've got a 125-pound bear. But you got to look the tracks over once you find them. But you know, I look ahead and look down low, because you can see where something has stepped, especially something with the size of foot that one of those creatures have. It mashes everything down and it leaves a shiny spot. Well, and like I say, it's knowing your surroundings. It's knowing what's out of place. And you know, and Robert, like I say, there's a lot of times that I've tracked out there by myself that you know, when he showed up on the scene, well, everything happened then. In the rain, he's got the perfect solution, literally the perfect solution for tracking in the rain. Go ahead. So he'd tell him about your trick.
Oh, well, in the blood thing, you know, you're not, hopefully some of you are going to get an opportunity to track something, a Bigfoot with some blood. But for every other critter we've been on, there's always been this incident where the rain shower comes up and your blood gets, it's still there, it's physically there, but it's diluted and you can't see it anymore. You've lost your thing. You've lost your sight. Well, there, you know, like Rocky's used this trick many times with the red lens on a flashlight, and the or you could just put the red like your sandwich wrap, that red sandwich wrap over your flashlight, put a rubber band on it, and you know, create your own. But it really helps to pick up that blood. You can see it kind of shines kind of black. You can really pick it up on the leaves and on the ground. But when the rain comes and it dilutes that doesn't work so great. But I don't even remember where I even come up with it at, but you can take a, you know, like your little descent bottle that you use to descent yourself for hunting or whatever after it's empty, and fill it full of peroxide and put you a little bit of yellow food dye in that. And if you get to a spot where you know you see sign there on the ground, you've seen something that may be a little bit disturbed and the water's making everything have shine on it from the raindrops, and you've lost your blood, just take a second there while before you, where you've lost it, or a little bit ahead there where you kind of know you're in the right direction. If you spray a little bit of that peroxide down there on the ground on where you thought you were, and it don't take much, just mist it out across there, and when that peroxide hits that blood, you will instantaneously have a little foam ball that's yellow. And if you say, okay, well, there's your spot, and you kind of see which way it's going at, go on up 10, 12 yards and do it again. And before long, you'll keep on your trail, because the peroxide's going to show that diluted blood in a foam ball. And it works. And we've used it many times when we've wounded a hog or something, or a deer or something's run for a ways, and you just can't quite put your finger on it, and the blood trail's about done, and then that works. Give it a try. It may not work all the time, but it's just another little thing you can keep in your bag. It don't take up much room, and it could help you either, you know, find something or not find something. But most of the time, it at least gets you, keep you on the trail to where you may go another 50 feet and look, say, look, there it lays, but you would have never found it without it. So it's just a little trick in the bag there.
Well, thank you guys. I appreciate it. I want to Amber. Open it up for everybody. Is that okay? We got Bruce the Snake Man on here. We got Clayton. We got Taran. Bob just dropped off. I think his battery went bad here. Steve, are you on? Okay, we got everybody there.
This is Clayton right here.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Who's calling Clayton? Just say your name.
Yeah, this is Clayton. Clayton.
Who's calling Clayton? Yeah. Who wants to talk to Clayton?
All right. Now, where is Clayton at exactly?
Alabama.
Alabama. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Steve, you're in a lot of your territory is just pretty identical to where we're at. What kind of vegetation, I mean, food sources, do you have out there for one of them?
You're talking about as such as animals or?
No, just you know, any kind of, like we've got, you know, we've got all kinds of wild fruit and stuff like that for them.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know exactly what they would eat, you know. I don't know all that much about Sasquatches.
Well, yeah, but, you know, like I said, we've got pawpaws, we've got May apples, we've got all kinds of roots and berries and stuff in our area. And, you know, I was wondering about the food sources and the water sources in your area.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot, like you just mentioned, you know, a lot of hardwoods, thick areas, got some branches down in some hollers, there's a lot of places around here that could be suitable for Sasquatches to live because they got their water supply, they've got things to eat such as berries, and I'm sure little rodents and animals in the woods. So I'm sure Mississippi, where you're at, is about a lot of the same as well.
No, I'm in Arkansas.
Oh, you're in Arkansas. I thought you said Mississippi.
Well, I'll tell you what, Rocky, a couple of times that I've heard the people have told me that they've seen this large creature eating a rabbit. So
yeah,
I know they eat a rabbit, you know. They'll catch these small rodents and eat those.
Well, the reason I ask is because, you know, truthfully, just about anywhere you go, if you're fast enough or can throw a rock real straight, you've got all kinds of protein.
Right.
But, you know, the carbohydrate thing like fruits and vegetables and stuff like that. There's a lot of that around here in our area that's just, you know, reach down and get it.
Well, these creatures must be really, really fast to actually catch a deer because that one night my sister saw one carrying a deer. So I'm thinking they're pretty fast just to be able to catch a deer, unless they
were
or something.
It's one of those things, this Theron.
Yeah.
Okay. I've walked from your mother's house down through the woods all the way out to the road.
Mm-hmm.
If I was out hunting minus a firearm or anything and I saw a deer laying dead beside the road, he suffered.
Yeah. The
trick of the trade is if you find something laying dead, you pick it up and shake it. If the meat don't fall off the bone, cook it up and eat it.
Oh yeah. I've noticed dead deer on the road, and the next day they're gone, you know, so. Yeah.
Well, see, that's kind of, Arkansas road hunting. What you do, you road hunt with a can of spray paint.
Yeah.
You you paint an orange circle around everything that you see laying dead, then you go down to the store and drink some beer, and then when you go back, anything that's laying there dead that doesn't have a circle around it is supper.
Okay.
That's called hillbilly hunting.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. The thing that I was there's plenty of protein around there. I saw that there was plenty of protein around in that area, but after the burn, you know, the kind of, other than just stuff that they could dig up, there wasn't as much of a, other than the guy that planted the garden just, you know, right over by your mom's house. Now, that would be a good food source, but it wasn't growing anything yet, so.
Yeah.
I went over there and checked it for track.
Yeah, well, they killed my mama's garden area, and my brother and my sister were planting peas the next day, and there was these really huge footprints walking across the garden area, and there was these smaller footprints just walking right through the freshly plowed garden patch there that was beside my mama's house. I think about the time where you were there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I can't remember too well, but yeah. But they were telling me that there was these huge foot tracks, you know, on that freshly plowed ground, you know, and so.
I'm thinking that Munch told me about that.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I keep asking about it is because, you know, everything has to have protein, but if that's all you're getting, there's the protein poisoning. You know, you can get too much protein if you're not taking in, you know, carbohydrates or anything like that. The reason I was asking that is I don't know. I know that around here, in where me and the Swede do all our hunting, we're competing for pawpaws. We're competing for May apples. There's other stuff out there eating them, deers and hogs and then great big tall hairy things. They're eating them too. And so, you know, I was just, you know, seeing what kind of carbohydrate sources they had, and, you know, up here they got plenty, but.
Well, you know, they eat these roots too, I believe. I just heard a story that my friend told. Happened back in the 60s. They were hunting raccoons one night. They had those old-fashioned flashlights, you know. I forgot what they call it, but, you know, they stuck it
car
to
lights.
Car lights stuck it to a battery, and they were walking through the woods, and they came upon this long, long, long patch of berry. And lo and behold, there was this creature standing there eating the berries, didn't even run away, but it wouldn't show his face. They would shine a light, try to get a look at the creature's face, and the creature would always turn his head away, but kept right on eating the berries. And that was a story that my friend told me here.
You know, Tom had the same experience once when he was out with Ivan Marks hunting.
Uh-huh. What happened there?
I don't know. I don't know. I think Bill may know more about it. I think you know the story about it, don't you, Bill?
Well, Ivan pretty much lived off he pretty much lived off the land. He knew which berries, pine trees, anything you can think of, all different kinds of things that he would get nourishment from as he's out there. So I don't know. There's a lot of things.
Tom told me once that him and Ivan were out hunting bear, and they walked up in this grove of chokeberries or something like that, and they said they heard
rumbling going on in the bushes. And when they turned around to look, they saw a Bigfoot right there looking at them while he was eating the berries. So I figured, I wouldn't have been there. Yeah. I probably would have ran.
Well, yeah, we have found places in our, when I say in our area that we always talk about, that's 280,000 acres. But we have found places that stuff has been, roots and, you know, a lot of stuff like that has been dug up, but that some of it by hogs, but some of it not by hogs. And, I was just curious. I mean, cattails, we saw the one little pond, we saw all the cattails just disappearing overnight. And, that's a source of food for us too when we're out there, you know, should we decide that we wanted to, go Tarzan. But,
Does anybody have any questions for Clayton? Or Clayton, do you have any questions of anybody?
I don't know that I have any questions, but just in case there's any Alabama listeners out there, I just want to say one thing. I want to say, roll damn tide.
Hold on there, Marco.
Alabama, you from Clayton?
Yeah.
Who's that one with that 500 caliber, whatever it is? Is that a pistol or a gun?
That's a cannon.
That's what?
That's a cannon.
That's my 500. The 500 Smith & Wesson Magnum is a hand cannon.
Did you know they actually make a 750 caliber rifle?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I don't think we have elephants in this country, do we?
And I don't think I'd want to break my wrist with that thing.
Well,
I'll stick with the PF or the FNP 90.
You know, you guys were talking about the food sources and all that. Here in Paris, we've had found evidence that they've been eating the shellfish, you know, like the mussels and water vegetation around the Fat Mays Lake.
Mm-hmm. Right. We've seen, like I say, the vegetation getting the carbohydrates. You know, we've seen, like I say, watercress. We've seen it disappear in the night. We've had. Like I say, stands of cattails just be gone. We've seen May apples get ready to go get some in the morning, and they're not there anymore. We've even had
people that would feed their squirrels and their deer on, you know, those corn feeders. Had something walk, just take the corn right off their feeders.
Yeah. Well, see, that's what I'm talking about. They've got to be getting their roughage and all that, and I was just bringing it up so that people would actually pay attention to, places where roots and tubers and stuff like that has been dug up. I mean, especially if they don't live in hog country. Here we're used to it. But we know when it's a hog and when it's not.
When it's not.
Right. I was born and raised in the backwaters of South Florida, but I live here in Paris, Texas. This is the snake.
You know about hogs.
Yes, sir. Bob, and alligators.
Yeah. Well, guys, I want to thank everybody tonight for coming on the show. We're coming around a little bit over time, but that's okay. I want to thank you all for coming on and sharing your stories. I'll be talking to everybody. Clayton, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show here tonight, sharing your story. I know it's a risky thing because, one, you're scared, and, of course, it's your first sighting, and what happens is all the, as you probably already found out, a lot of people are going to think you're strange and all kinds of other stuff, call you crazy, but you're not. And welcome to our Bigfoot family. I'll keep in contact with you. You can call me anytime.
Okay, yeah, I'm glad to be part of the family.
And everybody, keep on Bigfooting, and we'll see everyone next week. Take care now, and good night.
Hey, Marco.
All right, good night.
Good night, Marco.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise to the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they have to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts. We brought them together.